אנחנו לומדים מהספר תלמוד עשר הספירות.
Reading from the study of the ten sefirot, part 2, volume 2, inner reflection, item 14. You can get into our site, Kabla TV. Send us your questions. Selected questions will be heard in the course of the lesson. The study of the ten sefirot, part 2, page Nunchet, inner reflection, istaklut pnimit, item Yudaled 14.
אנחנו לומדים
We learn about a system where the upper force, which the upper force created, stabilized, and that is called the system of the worlds. In that system, this is where we exist. That system connects us all. In order for us to know the system, we are in a situation towards that system of unconsciousness. And from afar, from this state of unconsciousness, we start coming closer to know it, to know that system, to the extent that we become more sensitive to it. The entire system is an harmonious system in a mutual connection, like something whole, something complete with all its parts in unity. To the extent that we acquire in the correction of the connection between us a sense for unity, where we can be capable of holding on to it, to such an extent we begin to discover the system. It's like a little person who lives in some village, he's working the land, well, he's a farmer. So all he sees is his small, tiny world. The time comes where people develop, they start coming out from their villages, they begin to travel to go and see the big world, to know it through their TV screen and their computer, in order to be involved with each other more. Why? In order to be ready to understand that they are a part of a tremendous integral system which is entirely interconnected in different forms with all details in such a way where we cannot even start to imagine how whole, how complete it all is without any limitations, any restriction. All in all, we have to correct our perception to disclose the system where we live in. So you're told, don't be like this farmer, do something small, you know, look at a wall in such a tiny way, look at it as a group, and inside this group start studying how to exit yourself and to see things globally, to such an extent, if this is how you go and want to connect with everyone else, you develop integral senses, such senses where you can perceive not something particular in a linear kind of way, only this or only that. You will be able to perceive everything all at once. And to be in a feeling, attainment, understanding, perception, criticism over of everything all at once. Is it possible? Yes, so say Kabbalists. If you're aimed in a way that you only perceive what comes your way, then you can perceive only a tiny part of the reality. These are your very limited situations in both time, motion, in everything. And this is the part you live in. You don't see, you don't feel the whole picture around you. Although it exists, only you don't feel it. It doesn't enter your zone like you don't perceive radio waves around you. You don't get them. Why? Because you don't have the senses for it. Same way, you don't have senses except for seeing your very limited, very narrow kind of life, except for the small world that you discover. But there's much more to it. In order to come to a perception where you get, feel, see, decide, control the entire reality all at once, which you don't know what it is yet. It is told that our world is a tiny grain of sand compared to the entire universe. This is how it is. So you need to have integral perception, where you perceive everything. What does it mean to perceive everything? It means to be connected, to feel, to be a giver and a receiver. How is it possible? In our words, it means that we need to be incorporated with all parts of reality, emotionally and intellectually. Or in other words, we should do it by an approach which is called love. This is how the will to receive, when it wants to be incorporated with the rest of the pieces, it makes contact with them, which is called love. Actually, it is such a connection when there is no difference between one part and another, when they are connected. So, if I'm going to totally, integrally, completely connect with all parts of reality, it means that I have to reach love, love thy friend. That's it. And if this is how I prepare myself, so my vision, my perception expands to all direction in 360 degrees, all direction and so on. I'm not limited anymore. And in that feeling that I acquire by my correction of connecting to others, I acquire the ability to seemingly swallow, to including me, the entire reality. Those phases where I'm capable of integrating with the entire reality, to swallow it, to feel it instantaneously, to instantaneously control and use it, and to be integrated with it, those stages are called degrees. And in the study of the Ten Sefirot, all and on, we learn what are those elements, components, parts of that reality, and the connection between them. Of course, we don't go to the details. We can't learn about it. We also don't learn about the thousand kind of connections that exist there. Rather, he explains to us now, Baal HaSulam, and before him, the Ari, and before him, other Kabbalists. They explain the principles, the basics, the such global things that exist in that system, so that somehow we will be able to come and start knowing everything. All the rest depends on us, how we get into it and develop, work on ourselves. So now what we learn in part two of TES, the study of the Ten Sefirot, we study very important things. Here we have to pay attention. We have a study in the Kelim of Igulim, the vessels of circles. We actually don't learn about them except for a very small part of Kabbalah that speaks about it. Because we have a problem perceiving things in the round way. We don't have the ability to do that. Everything is according to simple, clear measurements, distance, time, weight, the amount of exertion, forces, as we learn in physics. And also, same thing in chemistry, according to the relative force of the materials, the numbers of the particles, let's say in electrons, this is how they connect, this is how everything works. So this global form, which goes through the kelim of circles, we do not attain it. And our purpose is to reach a state where the kelim of yosher will reach the degree of the kelim of igulim, circles, so much so, unlimited, unrestricted. So let's study in a way, well, as much as we will know about it, it very much develops our receptacle vessels. And also, even in our world, if we're closer to the perception of both Yosher and Igulim, it really helps us to see in this world different kinds of processes, lines of governance and providence, flow of energy, and how the world progresses, because that goes by according to the same rules, although people don't really discover it. So please go ahead. Item 14, right?
Yes. We are in item 14. Opposite value between the influence of the light and the clothing or dressing of the light. It is not surprising, for it is reasonable to think that the more important light should clothe the purer kelim, because the form of the pure kli is closer to the light. Thus, why is it said here that the greater the coarseness, the greater the degree? Indeed, we should know that the issue of the clothing of the light in the kelim is an issue in and of itself, and the influence of the light, the upper light on the partzuf, is a different issue altogether. They are far apart and are indeed of opposite value between them. The rule is that the upper bestows only with its most coarse part, while the lower receives only with its most pure part. We must understand that, for it is a vital key to understand this wisdom.
Not only in the wisdom, rather, we should understand better how the upper one behaves towards us. This is the connection between the upper one and the lower one. The upper one bestows upon the lower one with its coarser part, and the lower one receives with its purest part. So it is seemingly like the vessels are opposite. It's an opposite behavior, expression to one another. Opposite, it's not just that I see that it is opposite. It is opposite according to my mind, understanding, feeling, perception. Nothing actually fits. And how can we overcome this? And to be in a recognition, understanding that this is how precisely the connection is. And so it won't reject us. That perhaps where I feel the aviut, the coarseness of the upper one, perhaps there I have to say, hold on a minute, hold on a minute, he's close to me, he bestows upon me. So it's not simple anymore, but this is how it is. Because the upper one bestows the upper one with coarser things. meaning if I see some horrible things happening in the world, this is the upper degree bestowing upon me, and something horrible happens, that means that he's coming closer to me, that he's bestowing upon me. And precisely when everything is nice, good and beautiful, when I want to bless, what do I bless on? That the upper one is drifting away from me? You understand that it is not quite according to our intellect, mind, or emotion. So let's see. Yes, mister. Give him the mic quickly.
The two states of coarse and pure, that actually I understand that the pure is the attainment and the coarse is the reception. Is that correct?
Not necessarily, but keep on going.
I'm looking for the movement that we have, because from the preparation through the Zohar to this, I saw this line. We have like two chapters, one that is constant, let's say states that are constant, that repeat themselves, and we actually don't choose those states. And before that, we have also the times where we do choose to hasten the pace and the dynamics. And now, from what Rav is talking about in Talmud Eser Sefirot, there's this discernment of the coarseness, which is more the place of reception, and purity is more the place that's closer to the Creator, which is more appears in, on our behalf, that we're expecting upward. There's some kind of expectation between the two.
The entire reality expanded from the thought of creation to benefit his creatures. This is where the whole secret is. How do we, the creatures, how opposite we are from the Creator, and yet we receive his nature. So it so happens that this whole process is how do we get into such changes which are opposite to our nature? And we do it willingly by ourselves, with our own demand for it to happen, although it is contradicting to our own nature. And then I need to ask the Creator to kill me and do something opposite from me, from what I am. And I have no correlation to it, no appreciation to it. Quite the contrary. I'm rejected from it, I'm repelled by it with all my strength. And I don't want anything from those corrections, changes, adhering to him, and so on, the equivalence of form. This is something worse than death. How can we still come closer to this? Because existence from existence and existence from absence, it's a distance that we cannot apprehend. There is no such thing in us. These are two forms of nature, the nature of the Creator and the nature of the creation, the creature, the created being. We don't see it anywhere else in our world, because our world has nothing of the nature of the Creator. And therefore, all of our corrections are only by us drawing the light. That's it. You have some opportunity, a frail, very small, narrow opportunity, very delicate opportunity, where you have to be extremely sensitive in order to draw the light and thus perform changes over yourself. Because here, you have to be like, to go between the drops of water between your nature from stopping you, from rejecting you, from pushing you away, because you have to reach a state where you want something that you cannot want, to bestow, to love. Therefore, we do not understand the situations we're going through. I'm looking at people now, here and in the world, in the groups. They're going through all kinds of situations. See, how many situations did each and every one of you went through? Happiness, sadness, being upset or peaceful, different states. So what? Does it teach someone anything? Nothing. Nothing. Every time when a descent comes your way, a person falls down, he lies, he cannot move. When an ascent comes his way, he's happy like a little child, mindlessly, and that's it. So the lights, they shake the vessels. How do we? And there is no choice. There is no choice. So much so that a person agrees to die and live. This is how it goes. During the descent, this is how it is. It's a known fact. Now comes the question, how can we manage that process? This is all we have to know. I don't care about anything else. Just show me the button or the joystick. You know what the joystick is, right? Surely you play with computers with different games, right? The kids, they explain to me what it is. My grandsons, my grandkids in Canada. So what am I trying to say? How do I manage all that? This is what I want to know. And this is what we're coming to.
Do we kill the existence from the existence to reach the existence from absence?
All in on, we have to reach subjugation, where I am a complete egoistic will to receive, and there is nothing more for me to do other than reach a state, like Rabbi Akiva said about the waves in the sea, how he was saved from his ship that sank. I lowered my head, I ducked my head for every wave that came my way, and then they brought me to safe shore. So, first of all, that is our work. It's a hard work. During the descent, this is the work we have to do during a descent, when you are in the ocean, in a situation where you have nothing to hold on to. So just duck your head. Duck your head. That's it. And all of a sudden you start seeing, when you do that, you see freedom all of a sudden. It's like a person who lives on the shore, who has nothing, he cares about nothing. This is the way I am, like we in the waves, with the waves on the sea. All of a sudden you see that they help you. The moment you lower your head, it is done so deliberately for you to come closer in such a way to the upper one. This is like an embryo in his mother's womb. He nullifies himself, and this is how he grows.
Lowering the head is definitely against the nature of man. This is known.
It depends on the amount of blows he gets. No problem here. You want us to show you how, and you will set an example? It's for each and every one of us.
No, but I'm looking. Okay, so lowering your head is a little bit of passivity.
No, it's a great work.
Passiveness. It's to lower your head.
No. That's not it. If then you're like a beast if you lower your head. You have to lower your head like a human being. Rabbi Akiva did it wisely. This is why he reached the shore. The shore is the end of Chochmah. You reach the end of Chochmah by lowering your head.
So let's say we're doing this exertion, and we're lowering our head ourselves without receiving blows, and this is against man's nature and a certain work. Where do we do the division between the things that we don't have work upon, like certain states? For this is I feel from the introduction.
There is no such thing. There mustn't be such thing that I have situations which I have no control over.
Control, yes, but I don't establish the states. They come automatically.
I generate such situations. I awaken the dome. If I won't awaken it, I won't have any. If I will, I will have. I'm serious.
So what, we're going to control the wheel?
You have to control everything instead of the Creator. My sons have defeated me.
The sun will block in Givon and light in the Ayalon Valley?
You decide. If you succeed, you raise your head. If you fail, you lower your head. You were given forces. These are not your forces. These are the forces of the Upper One, but He's prepared to work for you.
And it's not in lowering the head. It doesn't
also
seem
in
so.
The lowering of the head, but you don't lower your head towards Him. That is wrong. The Creator doesn't need our subjugation. Everything is how to use the will to receive. We will work on it. But in short, what are we saying here? We're saying that this is a great problem. The upper one and the lower one are in opposite way from one another, so opposite that we don't really understand it. The upper one is connected to the lower one with its coarseness, and the lower one is connected to the upper one with its purity. Okay, let's continue and see.
15. The restriction, the tzimtzum, was only in Pchinat Dalet. In order to understand that, we need a thorough understanding of the issue of restriction and line. Kav. For you already know that the restriction was only on Pchinat Dalet, called Malchut de Ein Sof, or the middle point. There is a simple reason for it. Restriction means detainment from wanting to receive. In other words, one stops oneself from receiving the abundance from the light of Ein Sof. Thus, the restriction applies only to the receiving kli.
That feels itself, that it receives, it feels the shame, and therefore is incapable of receiving because the shame detains him, doesn't let him receive. So, there is no, I want to, I don't want to hear, it's nice or not nice. We're talking about forces operating inside a matter, and the matter is the will to receive. It's like a piece of matter. Two forces are operating in it. One force inside the matter, the will to receive, to observe everything that he feels good with, and the other force in the matter is the feeling of shame, which now increases and says, no, I will be left without a fulfillment, but also without a shame, instead of receiving and being ashamed. It's a matter of simple calculation. What is more, what is less? On what it depends, how do I judge what is more or what is less? That depends on my education, on how I become sensitive towards reception, bestowal, shame, or respect, honor. And from here, you don't need anything more, because this is the calculation in the first restriction where all the worlds, all the souls, and everything else were created from. And here I receive because I want, or because he wants, I reject, because I want, or I want an equivalence of form, which is his inner desire, that shame should help me to protect myself, or it should help me to bestow upon him. And the honor, is the corresponding the shame, there is honor, so it's my honor or his honor. So here we have the entire calculation between those two forces, no more shame or pleasure, and how many actions we have in between. So we see that the kli built as a result an opposite havaya from below upward. Here, the attitude towards the Creator begins to be formed, like from the Creator towards the created being. And from here, all the world stemmed from, in order to realize that decision in the first restriction, Tzimtzum Aleph. Go ahead.
We're going to go one line back. The restriction means there is a simple reason for it. Restriction means detainment from wanting to receive. In other words, one stops oneself from receiving the abundance from the light of Ein Sof. Thus, the restriction applies only to the receiving kli, since there is no other vessel for a reception there but Bchinat Dalet. Hence, the restriction applies only to Bchinat Dalet. It has already been explained above that the three Bchinot that preceded Bchinat Dalet are not regarded as vessels of reception, but only as causes. This means that the consequence of their emanation is the appearance of the kli for reception, Bchinat Dalet. That is why the restriction does not apply to them, but only to the middle point, being Bchinat Dalet.
Meaning, only in the place, meaning the desire where I feel myself as receiving from the one that bestows, I feel the nature of the bestower and the nature of the receiver. Everything is concentrated, focused on one desire. This is where Bechinat Dalet is. This is where I feel myself, him, the relationship between us, and the result of the relationship between us. As a result of the relationship between us, I feel the shame. Over the same desire only, not on the previous desires, only on that specific desire, there is now a law, a condition, a restriction, and so on, only on Bchinat Daled, which feels itself opposite from the Creator and as a result operates. Therefore, there can be no restriction over a desire which doesn't come to it, doesn't realize it, doesn't perform it. And therefore, we are in such a long time of the development of our desires until we reach a state that that's it. We have come to determine the situation of the both, where both the, how the creator treats the creature and the creature treats the creator, it becomes as one, and then we come to Bchinat Daled. And in each and every degree, when we come to Bchinat Daled of that specific degree, then we can perform an action and not before. Okay?
Adon Tzvika.
Mr. Tzvika.
We skipped on a topic that needs scrutiny. He says that the matter of the clothing of the kelim and the lights in the kelim is a matter for itself. And then he says the influence of the light on the pratsuvim is a matter for itself. So first of all, what comes before what, and is it not the same? So what's the difference between the clothing of the light and the influence of the light?
No. What comes before and what comes after, we're going to study about it. This is the matter of Zivug Dakan, the expansion of the light into the Kli. This is on the one hand. On the other hand, you say that this is one thing and that is another thing. Of course, the actions are connected, but what the intention means that this is not quite according to the line, that this is from the purest to the coarsest and the coarsest to the purest. This is why those two things are separated, but of course the connection between those actions is there.
what is clothing and what is bestowal, or influence. He says bestowal on one hand, and he says clothing on the other hand. We learned that it's the same thing. If someone influences me or clothes upon me, it's the same final result.
You're talking about the action, or...
He's talking about an action.
The actions are related to one another. But the relation between the actions bestow itself, the influence itself is opposite. Because if I bestow upon you, I bestow upon you with my courses, think towards your purest thing. And you have to prepare yourself in your purest part in order to equalize with my coarsest part.
Then he moves to the part where it's only the middle point, meaning that the restriction occurs only on the middle point. What does that mean?
Let me give you an example. Let's say the Creator brings a person troubles, problems. He really confuses him. He makes a meatloaf out of him. I don't even know how to say it. And all of a sudden, a person feels, as a result, a connection with him, with the Creator. How can it be? This is what we see that happens in life sometimes. People who have troubles go curse the providence and everything. No. How come? No way. I feel him close to me. He will help me and so on and so on. How come? How come it happens? Out of this roughest, rudest treatment of the Upper One, a person starts discovering the connection with him. That means that the Upper One bestows upon him with his coarsest part, and what does he awaken as a result? The purest part in the creature. So if you will get 10 blows, never mind, as usual, as you say, not too bad. And so what do you need to receive instead of 10? 1,000 blows. And then you say, it's nice, it's good. I start feeling him. How come he gave you 1,000 blows instead of 10? Yes, he bestows upon you with his coarsest part, and you, as a result, connect to him with your purest part. I can give you plenty examples like this. This is a principle. He explains it like in a science.
What does he mean when he says here, and the restriction occurs only on the middle point alone? What is this middle point that he's talking about that he's mentioning here?
The middle point has many definitions to it. We can read about it. I would have defined it this way. This is a point over which all of our actions from the side of the Creator and the creature are aimed towards. This is the middle point. Other than it, there is nothing else which is under the influence of the forces. All the forces, all the intentions, all the calculations are only towards that point. What is that middle point? This is the point in the heart in a person.
It doesn't exist. I need to discover it, right? This middle point.
For the time being, it exists.
Where?
The fact that you're sitting here, that means that the middle point had been awakened in you. You still have a connection, some attitude towards the purpose of creation, that you have to reach something higher than just succeeding at your home or work. There is something higher than this life. This is the work of the middle point.
Okay, now here we're trying to attain the middle point in theory. It's in theory what you're telling me. We're learning theory now. Before the test. Now I need to come to the point where I'm truly attaining this middle point and truly attain it, right? And that's the meeting point with spirituality.
Inside that point, yes.
The point itself. This is in the three lines where you started with Ephraim, Moshe, and...
You can say it this way, three lines, and then everything is clear, okay? Keep going.
16. The light departed entirely because there was no other vessel of reception other than Prinat Dalet. Therefore, since she diminished her desire from Prinat Dalet, the light departed from the three former Prinot as well. That is because they do not have other vessels of reception with which to hold the light. Even the lights that do belong to the three previous Prinot must be received in Prinat Dalet, because they do not have their own vessels of reception. Thus, because Prinat Dalet stopped receiving, the entire light instantly vanished.
Meaning, the light departs Prinat Dalet according to the work, according to her equivalence of form, with the light, with the source, with the emanator, and from the previous three Bechinot, it departs immediately without any work. In short, Bechinat Dalet decides what's going to happen in its three previous Bechinot, because those three previous Bechinot cause the existence of the fourth Bechina. Same thing we learn about our nature. We say still, vegetative, animate, what are we doing to the world? How will we reach the correction of nature, climate, ecology? What happens to all those things? The moment we will correct Bechina Dalet, the moment we will correct the human being, Adam, everything will go back to its best form. There's nothing to be afraid of. The main thing is the correction of man, Adam. This is where the restriction is, this is where the correction is, and all previous three Bechinot we will arrange in the best possible way, to the same extent like we correct Adam himself. Is that clear? What?
Earlier you told Zvika, I'm influencing from my coarse to your pure. And now in continuance,
it's not me and you, we're talking about the upper one and the lower one.
The upper and the lower. The upper influences, how do we do the action of bestowal? From the coarse, from the place of our reception?
Towards whom?
Towards the pure.
Towards the pure. Towards the upper one or the lower one? Towards the upper one?
Is there pure and upper and pure and lower?
There is the law of equivalence of form. In order for the upper one to equalize with you, he has to be connected to you in his through his coarsest part, because then he belongs to you, then he can reach you, he can make contact with you. You, in order to reach the upper one, you have to connect to him with your purest part.
And the upper, as it bestows or influences, it also influences my coarse part, too.
To your purest part. You cannot be connected to him with your coarsest part.
Not connected, but what's the
vessel of reception? Mister, what are you talking about? Talk without all those twistings around. I'm asking you. There are rules here, clear rules here of the law of equivalence of form. It's a simple law. It exists throughout the entire nature, throughout the entire process. It is impossible for something to equalize with something else if they don't have common qualities. The common quality between the upper one and the lower one is that the upper one bestows with his coarsest parts. In what can he equalize with the lower part, with the purest part of the lower one? This is where the contact can happen. And also that contact is not simple.
But at the contact point, that's not the vessel of reception of bestowal. The vessel of reception is in coarseness, always.
This is the upper one, Elyon. This is the lower one, Tachton, and there's a cut, there's a separation between those 2 degrees. There's a cut, there's a separation between those 2 degrees. And this cut comes from Ein Sof. It comes from Insof, because each and every part is divided, is separated, is cut off from the rest of the parts. Now, how does the upper one bestow upon the lower one? The upper one has to go down to the smallest, roughest, coarsest, like you towards a baby, towards your kids, when you go to explain something to them. And from here, he begins to bestow upon the lower one. His bestow upon the lower one is a bestow, but not from one kli to another. There is a transition here through the Creator. You understand me or don't you? That is called Gever, man, and this is called Isha, a woman. And the Shechina, the divinity, is between them. The Bore, the Creator, is between them. You bestow through the light. There is no actual contact here. This is what they write about in different novels, how two are connected together. They yearn, they long for each other. They can long for each other, but they can never connect, only through the Creator. This is why man and wife, the Creator, the divinity is between them. Otherwise, nothing can happen. Nothing. If we're talking about the connection, here it should be the coarsest, and here it should be the purest.
Ken.
Yes?
No?
Then there is some equivalence of form between them. They're close to each other. They also can't be really together. They can't be really together because this is man and this is a woman. They can't. It's not the same nature. It's not the same nature, you understand? This is something entirely different. Only we don't understand it. We don't know about it. Now we begin to get it. Take a part of man and part of a woman. Even in our beastly body, in everything, in every part, there is an essential difference between them. But in our life, in our degree, in the degree of animals, it makes no difference because we're not in Bechina Daled yet. Because we're not in Bechina Daled, in the fourth Bechina. If we would have been in Bechina Daled, then you cannot compare them, you cannot connect them at all. But in Bechinot Aleph Bet Gimel, we're like in our world, we can take pieces, parts, blood from a man to a woman. But it is completely impossible in spirituality.
But in the corrected state, we are in equivalence of form, and as the upper influences to us from the coarse to the pure, we also influence in such a way?
You bestow upon the upper one by preparing for him your purest part so that he will be able to bestow upon you with his coarsest part.
So bestowal to the upper is the opposite from pure to coarse?
Well, you can say that. Fine, it's fine, it's okay. Well, there are many things to it. I don't want to confuse you. Yes, Asher.
But the part, if I'm looking from above, the coarse part is actually the pure part of the upper, because if I'm creating equivalence of form with him, it has to be pure, not coarse.
That is correct. That is correct. You're talking about the quantity of information of the upper one towards the lower one. But you're not talking about his coarseness. In order to bestow upon the lower one, the upper one needs to perform a great, great effort.
Yes, but the upper is in complete coarseness, therefore he's also in complete purity.
No, it's also in different degrees. You're not with the degree of Ein Sof. You are in contact with a degree which is in the letter of degrees, which is only on top of you, above you. And therefore, here is the sorrow of the divinity, the pain of the divinity. We can, the entire wisdom of Kabbalah is here. We can talk about it a lot.
Okay, that's okay. Maybe another question, because I wasn't here for a few days.
And it's
but Yosher and truth.
And it's my fault. Moti wasn't here for a week. Now you won't come for a month, and then you will start complaining
about truth and Yosher. What's the connection between them? Is it one? Is it? Can you explain a little bit here? Because there's a certain point here. And how does it help me in my daily life? Everything that I learn, I have to use it every day, every hour that I'm alive. How does it work out for me? Truth and Yosher, where outside it doesn't exist.
Only towards the environment, the center of the group, it can be implemented only there. The rest of our life are very hard for the right implementation.
But how do we work with this? As far as internality, it's very difficult for me outside, especially here. When I know that I need to behave truly and be in a straight manner in this world and the next world.
No. They tell you, don't spread around. It will only confuse you. You have to aim yourself in such a way that your friends will see the truth and straightness on your behalf, and that will be an example for everyone else. That's the first thing, and that is everything for now. If you will influence on them this way, that you will awaken them towards the goal, there is no greatest mitzvah than this. This is already a part of the mutual guarantee.
And what happens in my daily life outside the group when I still need to be in connection with them?
As much as you can. As much as you can. As much as you can, but you don't have to show that you're this way out there. Here in the group, you have to publicize it. You have to show them an example to draw them towards it, but not on the outside.
No, of course, but in my internality, I need to behave according to the true supposed laws of the society in which I live. Even though
to keep the laws of the group, this is a must for a person, because he has to accept it as the upper providence that for now, for the time being, dwells in the group this way, and the group behaves only according to those laws. It is allowed to steal. It is allowed. How is it allowed if it is forbidden according to spirituality? I'm taking something from someone. This is the group that, for the time being, the upper providence seemingly allows it to be in this way. Otherwise, they cannot exist. If the Creator had existed with them, meaning he had maintained his laws, not according to our degree, the degree we're at, rather in a higher degree, who could tolerate such life? Therefore, the providence is arranged accordingly, according to the amount of corruption that we have. See what is going on. Now, bribery and corruption throughout the world is being revealed to everyone. And who is excited about it? No one. Everybody knows about it. Everybody agrees with it. Why do we have courthouses for... Anyway, I don't understand. Everybody knows that. Where are we? Adam 17?
17.
Okay, keep on going.
There are only the first three p'chinot in the light of Kav. Adam 17. After the light leaves by reason of the restriction, she drew the light from Ein Sof once more in the form of a Kav, of a line. It means that only a small amount of light is drawn, containing only the first three p'chinot of the will to receive, without p'chinat dalet. We've explained that there are no vessels of reception in the first three p'chinot of the desire. We should therefore ask, how can light be received without vessels of reception? After all, these three p'chinot do not contain any form of reception in them. Moreover, p'china dalet, the only kli for reception in the partzuf, is only here as kav.
Yeah, this is why we say that in the previous three bechinot, their nature is closer to the nature of the igulim, circles. We'll discuss it further. Yeah, questions? Who had a question? Well. Yes, Gil. Make it short.
To go back to what you asked, when you're talking to your child, then you talk with your purest attributes, although you need to be most cunning.
We won't get into it again. This is the opposite value between the lights and the vessels. We don't have enough time for it. Now, not you. Let Moti. I respect him. He's a person working hard in our building. And who are you anyway?
I'll continue, Gil. I just want to, on the topic of this purity and coarseness, also on the topic of a child, I want to get the sensation, the feeling.
What did I do?
This matter of that when I want to feel something coarse, I need to be more pure, meaning more sensitive.
As much as you turn that view, the coarseness, into purity, by this you gain your profit. You profit your vessels that you're prepared to perceive more.
Meaning that I need to be pure in order to understand the coarseness. If I'm before the coarse, I cannot understand anything.
First of all, you have to be coarse, a rude person with a great will to receive, a criminal. And then you repent, you become pure, and then you're prepared to perceive, to observe the great light. This is our whole path from this world to the world of Ein Sof. We acquire coarseness and at the same time purity.
Thank you.
Now, about kids. I go to a child. I explain small things to him, small, gently, for him to understand. I come closer to him. I turn my coarser kli, the low kli, the simple kli, I turn it into something simple, not high. I turn it into something that he will be able to accept. I give him a small thing. I give him just a little bit, but I do it out of my great coarseness, out of my love and my appreciation for him. So there is zivug de'aka here in bestowing from the upper one to the lower one. The lower one, the upper one has to do that, but he has to work through a great degree. The upper one has to go up to the upper's upper. He receives from the upper's upper all the kelim, all the tools in order to arrange himself as a great one. He receives all the lights from the upper's upper. When he has all the lights, all the vessels, then he starts organizing the low one. Otherwise, how can he organize him? How can he arrange him? Because the lowest degree is much coarser than the higher degree. No, we don't have enough time right now. As much as we explain it, still, you know, there are some things that you have to see for yourself. And then you understand it from within, and then everything is simple, it works. Otherwise, everything is opposite and confused. Okay, you have some red numbers.
We'll move to the next part, and before that, we'll sing a song together.
אתה מקשיב, את הפאזל כבר מרכיב, והמילים חודרות עמוק בפנים. וזה גדל בלב, משמחה ומכאב, יוצא למסע לא מתעכב. קוראים לזה אהבה אמיתית, והיא תגדל יפה ואנושית. עוד מאותה זה אהבה אמיתית.
אתה מרגיש מעצמך לתת והניצוץ בך כבר מעוטף נחלים בך זורמים של אהבה בעורקים פתאום השחר מתעורר אומרים לזה אהבה